Good evening. Thank you for joining us this evening. It's Sunday evening, and we're having our online service at 5 p.m. tonight. Let me give you a brief rundown of what we plan on doing this week is concerning our online services. We plan on having, of course, Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. And, of course, this week is leading up to Easter. Good Friday is just right around the corner. So Good Friday, we plan on taking 15 to 30 minutes and having a special time concerning our Lord's crucifixion. And more than likely, we'll be in Isaiah 53 on Wednesday evening. So plan to tune back in with us. And, of course, you can see all of these on gospeldynamite.org, our website, and plan on being with us during those times. And of course, you can see them all through the week. If you miss something, you can go back and rewatch it or send it to someone by link through email. Just go to our YouTube channel, Gospel Dynamite. This morning, we spent time talking about the Lord Jesus and his prophecy that was prophesied about him in Zechariah 9 and verse 9. And the Lord Jesus, his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, Mark chapter 11. Tonight, we want to go to Matthew chapter 3, but we plan on dealing with that tonight. Matthew chapter 6, we're living in some tough times, some people would say. Definitely for my generation and younger, we have never seen situations as it is right now. If anyone really wants to see what socialism is about, you go to Walmart and see the empty shelves. That's what you'll see in socialistic nations. Everything that every one of us enjoy is a byproduct and byproduct of capitalism. So that's just a brief word out there for those millennials or anything like that. Not meant to be a political statement. It's more of a fact. So, we're living in tough times. The employment rate, of course, has tripled, and just over a matter of days, companies seem to be coming to a screeching halt. Our economy was going great guns, and then all of a sudden a virus pops up, comes out of China, and we have something to worry about. Well, the Lord tells us not to worry. So it's a contrast. The world tells us to worry. The world tells us to be filled with fear, not all out and about be filled with fear, but that's the vibe they throw out, especially through media. So Matthew chapter 6, and we will look at verses 24 through 34. Matthew 6, verses 24 through 34. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. For if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Do not worry. That's so much easier said than done. Before I even attempt to get into this message, we've got to say from the onset, state a disclaimer that I have not reached to the point that I don't worry. I've gotten better over time, but we don't have to worry. Do not worry doesn't mean that we are not to be concerned. Concern is connected to living in and dealing realistically with life situations. Worry is anxiety over not being able to control the future. There are things we need to be concerned about: daily demands, responsibilities, our families. If the Bible states that if anyone doesn't take care of their own, especially those in his own household, he's denied the faith. And he's even worse than an infidel, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. We should be concerned about our Christian testimony. We should be concerned about the local church. We should be concerned about being good citizens. You may be worried about the medical difficulties that you are having or an economic situation you're experiencing. But worrying will not change the thing. It wouldn't change the matter. It won't change the matter at all. It will only bring fear, it will only produce frustration, and it will spoil your enjoyment. It will steal every ounce of joy in your life. It is right to be concerned. It's right to take proper action to resolve a dilemma, but to worry only compounds the difficulty that's related to it. Do not worry doesn't mean that we don't make plans. Jesus talked about the wisdom of planning before even building or battling in Luke chapter 14. He says, which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost? Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 31. It's not a sin to plan for your work. It's not a sin to plan for your retirement. It's not a sin to plan for your family, your vacations, church programs, etc. James writes in his epistle that it's all right to plan as long as we subject our plans to God's, and that we subject our plans to God's will. He says, ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. Or do this or that, in James 4 and verse 16. Concern and planning are needed, but worry is not. Worry doesn't come from God. Worry comes from Satan. Worry comes from our flesh. So Jesus said, the premise of this reading that we have read today, Jesus says, do not worry. Now, here's a principle that we must face. Matthew chapter 6 is part of the Sermon on the Mount given by the Lord Jesus. And in verse 24, Jesus speaks about the root cause of worry. Chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, or ye cannot serve God and money. Or you could also say that you cannot serve God and worldly riches. Mammon means all of those. So we have a disaster here. When there's dual leaders, when there are two leaders, there is a disaster. No one can serve two masters. Trying to please two masters, two supervisors, or two bosses, or two overseers, it will result in a displeasing both, causing, you will displease both, and you're going to cause conflict, you're going to cause confusion, you're going to cause division, and it's going to cause frustration, which are the symptoms of worry. It's going to produce absolutely nothing but discord. Discord of divided loyalties. The Bible says either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. So the Lord says you cannot serve two masters. Jesus is telling us to weed out the worry, weed out that weed of worry that grows in the lawn of our lives. In it's the result of being double-minded. The Greek word for worry means to divide the mind. Ironic that the word worry means to divide. Satan's primary goal is to divide. He wants to divide anything that he can between you and God. He wants to divide you and God away from each other. He wants to divide and cause discord in families. He wants to divide and cause discord in local churches, and he's doing well on all fronts, sadly. Living as though we're totally responsible for everything in our lives while saying that we believe that God is totally double-minded. It's totally double-minded. It's double-tongued for us to say, I believe that God is in control of everything, and yet I'm trying to worry about everything as if I'm totally responsible for everything in my life. James, in his letter, in his epistle, says that a person who is double-minded is unstable. The principle that we must face is this. We have a Heavenly Father. We have a loving Heavenly Father who is our Master. And we should trust Him and we'd be loyal to Him and not worry. Now, there's a problem we must address. Our Lord was clear when He says, therefore, in verse 25, I say unto you, take no thought, or we could say, take no worry, for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? So the Lord says, I tell you, I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking. This is the holy word of our Heavenly Father to His children. What is He saying? Our Heavenly Father says, don't worry. Three times in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord says, don't worry. Verse 25, take no thought for your life. Take no worry for your life. Verse 31, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? That is, take no worry for our food, for our clothing. Verse 34, therefore, take no thought for the morrow, for tomorrow. You cannot change tomorrow. You're not in charge of tomorrow. So what is the meaning of thought? What is the meaning of take no thought? What is the meaning of do not worry? Well, literally, do not be anxious. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. Take no thought. Take no thought as if it's your place and your job to take the thought. What he's teaching us here is that it is our Heavenly Father's job to worry about His children. I have four children. I actually have five. I have one in heaven. We have four children here on earth. I am their father. I am responsible for them because they were born into my family, and God has given me the responsibility for them. It's my responsibility to look out for their well-being. It's my responsibility to look out for their, to make sure they're fed. It's my responsibility to make sure that they act in accordance of how they should act. It's my responsibility to make sure that they're clothed and that they're clothed properly and that what they wear represents a good testimony for the Lord and for this family. And so it's my responsibility because I'm their father. When I was born into the family of God, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, He became my Heavenly Father, and He is responsible for me because I am His child. And so the Lord Jesus is telling me here today, take no thought for your life or what you shall eat or drink. That's my job. Take no thought for your raiment. That's my job. Take no thought for tomorrow. That's my job. I am your father. You are my child. Come to me. It's my job. And so we need to understand that the Lord does His job very, very, very well. One thing to note, choke, and it means to strangle. And brother, worry will choke and strangle. Worry came to mean a mental strangulation from anxiety over something anticipated. Worry clouds the mind. Worry keeps us from seeing. It keeps us from comprehending things clearly. Worry is like fog. The Bureau of Standards in Washington put out an article about the composite elements of fog. It said that a dense fog that covers a city block 100 feet deep is composed of approximately 1 16-ounce glass of water divided into 60 million drops. Now, there's not much substance to fog. Not much substance to fog at all. But it can cripple an entire city. Worry is like fog. There's not much to it. But a few drops of fear, a few drops of anxiety and imagination, and we're all fogged up with worry. It cripples us. Worry becomes a menace. Worry is a very dangerous thing because it takes an awful toll on our bodies. It takes a toll on our minds. It takes a toll on our spirits. It affects us physiologically. Dr. Charles Mayo, he was the founder of the famous Mayo Clinic. He said, worry affects the circulation. It affects the heart. It affects the glands. It affects the whole nervous system. I've never known a man, this is his quotation from Dr. Mayo. He says, I've never known a man to die of overwork, but I've known a lot who died of worry. Ulcers have caused so much, are caused not so much by what we eat, but by what is eating us. Again, ulcers are caused not so much by what you eat, but by what is eating you. A doctor from Johns Hopkins University said this, we do not know why it is that worriers die sooner than non-worriers, but that is a fact. Worriers die sooner than non-worriers. When I was in college, everyone was required, it was mandatory that we take a speech class for a semester. This one girl decided to speak on the topic of worry. In her introduction, she said, I was awake all night worrying about this talk on worry. You see, worry is a thief. She was up all night worrying about talking about worry. And worry is a thief. It robs you of the peace of mind. It robs you of sleep. It robs you of clarity of thought. So thus, worry is not of God. Worry is of the flesh. Worry is in the mind. Worry is a product of Satan, and it affects us psychologically as well. Psychologists have come up with a name for chronic worriers. It's called GAD, G-A-D. It's generalized anxiety disorder. Think of the many who have been driven to the point of mental imbalance by worry. We say it, it's in our terminology. We say he's worried himself to death. And that's not an exaggeration in many cases. But it not only affects us physiologically and in our psychological mind, but it affects us spiritually. It affects us spiritually. Jesus said, take no thought of tomorrow. Don't worry. That's a command just as forceful as the commands, ye shall not murder. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's just as strong from our Savior. Why? Because worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. It is understandable for sinners to be worried. They should be worried about food, shelter, and clothing. They should be worried about where they're going, but they're not. Many of them are not. Christians should know better. Why would Jesus suffer and die for the same children he planned to neglect? Worry causes us great harm. It harms us physically, mentally, and spiritually. Jesus not only talks about a principle here and our problem, but he talks about our parent. And he talks about himself and who we can trust. When it comes to our Bible study on Wednesday night, we will deal with the parent we can trust. Two times our Lord Jesus used the phrase, your heavenly Father. And we're going to look at the parent that we can trust. We alluded to it just a moment ago. But I trust you'll tune back in Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. where we deal again with the subject of worry. We'll bring up a little summary that will summarize and bring our thought process back to what we talked about tonight. And then we'll get back into the subject of Jesus and the parent we can trust. I trust tonight you will remember to pray for our nation. I trust you'll remember to pray for our first responders, pray for our doctors, pray for our hospitals, pray for our people, pray for our president, our leaders, pray for our families, pray for our babies. And we pray also for each other. Let's close in prayer tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for your many blessings. And we ask that you would go with us to serve you and help us to know you better and help us to alleviate this worry from our lives. And help us not to worry, not to be concerned overly during this time, this trial that you have our land going through. Help us to plead for mercy on our behalf to you, and help us, Lord, to drive us to our knees so that we will pray and seek your face. Turn from our wicked ways, and we know that you'll heal our land. God bless every one of our listeners, our viewers tonight. I pray that you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Been a joy to bring the Word of God to you again tonight. Tune in Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Look forward to seeing you then. Also, remember our Good Friday time at 7 p.m. at the close of the week. God bless you.